I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Cavalry Audio.
Chinese Brethren, this week we have a great week, man. It's NFL draft week, so in honor of the draft,
yeah,
my special guests are straight from Ohio State University to the NFL.
Wow.
All right, these guys came to talk about the draft and transition to the NFL. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest is Cardale Jones.
Woo! Damon, Cardale!
Damon Arnett. And of course, my little nephew, Eli Apple.
Woohoo!
Wow. Ohio State Buckeyes in the building today, man. I saw guys.
The champions.
All right. Before we get to the show, let's get to the crazy nigga news. All right. Congratulations to my African brother, Kamara Usman, a.k.a. the Nigerian Nightmare.
Woo!
He
congratulations.
Knocked out UFC fighter and Trump supporter George Masvidal. Whatever the fuck that nigga name is. Now him and Trump both got knocked out in the same year. Ain't that some shit? The way that nigga was sleeping on the canvas, Usman gloves be sponsored by Melatonin, Posturepedic Mattress, and NyQuil. Night night, mother sucker. Congratulations, my African brother, Mr. Kamara Usman. You did your thing this weekend.
Kamara Usman.
Yes, my nigga. All right, other nigga news. A lot of shit went down. First and foremost, this week, we lost two hip-hop pioneers from New York, Black Rob and Shock G, a.k.a. Humpty Hump from Digital Underground. You might be gone, but your music will live forever, mother suckers. We love you. Rest in paradise.
We love you. Rest in paradise.
Every week, we're losing more people, man. Life is short. Live life the best way you can. Enjoy every day of your life. You never know when it'll be over with. These guys were all like 50s years old.
Only?
Very sad. So rest in peace. Rest in peace. Heaven. Rest in power. We will miss you, Black Rob and Shock G, my niggas. Okay, let's get the crazy nigga news. In the news, my nigga Brett Favre? Yeah, Brett Favre.
What the
he
fuck
fucked
did
up.
He do?
Fucked up, okay? The nigga Brett Favre went too fucking far this time, okay? This time he's saying that he finds it very hard to believe that Shaven or whatever that fucking cop name is, Shaven. Brett Favre went too fucking far, okay? He finds it hard to believe that Chauvin intentionally killed George Floyd.
What?
So you mean to tell me that choking somebody for almost 10 minutes is not intentional?
Intentional.
Well, yeah, but Brett Favre, guess what? I find it very hard to believe that you intentionally meant to throw 336 interceptions more than any other fucking quarterback in history, motherfucker, okay? I also find it hard to believe that you play 20 years in the NFL and only won one Super Bowl. One, motherfucker.
What?
Whoa. Bullshit. Try again. Yeah. Brett Favre, bruh. You went too far.
Mother sucker of the week.
Other nigga news. A preacher from D.C., Washington, D.C. in the house, DMV, okay? A preacher in D.C. is about to go to jail for 20 years.
What?
Yes, 20 why? Fucking years. You know why? For taking out a PPP loan.
Ooh.
Yes. Paycheck Protection Program loan and buying 36 cars.
36 cars?
That's right, 36 cars.
What?
He must have thought that PPP stood for Pontiac, Prius, and Porsches. That nigga must have prayed for a car a lot. He thought the PPP loan was a sign from God. Try again, motherfucker. In other nigga news, O.J. Simpson.
O.J.? The Juice?
Yes, the Juice versus LeBron James.
LeBron? Mess with LeBron.
O.J. said LeBron James tweeting about police brutality was a bad decision. How the fuck you gonna tell somebody about decisions making when you wrote a book snitching on yourself and went to jail for robbing somebody for your own shit? This is the difference between OJ and LeBron James, okay? One nickname is the Juice, the other nickname is the King. One plays on a court, the other one is always in court. One does charity, the other one is a fucking charity case. Shut the fuck up, my nigga, OJ.
Yeah.
Okay? Just be happy you got away with your shit, my nigga.
Yeah.
Mind your business. In other nigga news, Derek Chauvin.
Derek Chauvin.
That's right. Last but not least, finally, the devil, Derek Chauvin, got found guilty on all charges.
Woo! Hallelujah!
I hope while he's in jail, he drops the soap. And somebody drop his drawers. I hope they put a wig on him and some cherry Kool-Aid on his lips and pass him around the jail like a Snoop Dogg weed session. I also hope while he's in jail, somebody sticks a dick down his throat for 9 minutes and 27 seconds
Woo!
And see if he can breathe.
Yeah.
You racist bitch, nigga.
Fuck you.
Okay, we have a good show for you tonight besides all of this bullshit. I'm Michael Blackson, Chinese best friend. Let's get this shit popping, motherfucker.
Yeah! Woo-hoo!
What's up? Welcome to Mother Sucker with Michael Blackson, brought to you by iHeartRadio, Calvary Audio, and the Black Effect Podcast Network. What's up, Mother Suckers? Welcome to another episode of Mother Sucker with me, your host, Michael Blackson. I'm here with Chinese best friend. What's going on, Chinese best friend?
Hey, thanks everyone for listening to our podcast. I guess we have a lot of listeners, Michael Blackson.
Wait, in what part of the world?
Ghana, Guyana.
Guyana, nigga, not Ghana.
It's next to...
I don't think my own people in Ghana are not listening. They're too busy working and trying to make money and, you know, they're not... I don't think they... No. Guyana, yes. Nigeria have a lot of free time. You know, maybe somewhere in the United States is listening.
Yeah.
What number are we so far? Last time you checked.
Last time we checked, we was at 90.
In the United States? In the United States?
Yeah, in the United
That's
States.
Not bad at all.
Yes.
90 out of what?
90 out of a billion people that...
Everybody has a podcast, right?
Yeah, everybody podcasts. Everybody and their grandma and their neighbor...
And
my
then,
Uber driver had a podcast. I talked to him. Everybody got podcasts. I guess people really listen to us because how could we be 91, 92? That's pretty good. Thanks for listening, you mother sucker.
Yes. And it's what are you wearing today?
Oh, I'm wearing this Eagles jersey.
Who's in the back of it?
Yeah, I got it from this famous comedian. Michael Blackson.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks, Mike. I think I stole it from your closet.
I used to play for the Eagles.
Oh, yeah. How much were you getting paid there?
Man, I was below the water boy, man.
Yep.
I came in the game when everybody got hurt.
What?
The coach was hurt. Water boys were hurt. The utility coach was hurt. As everybody was hurt, the cheerleaders were hurt. Once everybody was hurt, that's when I came in the game. So that meant at one time, I came very close, but then one of the cheerleaders just had a splinter in her finger. So she went in the game and played, and then I didn't get
it. Hey, Mike, that's not a bad idea, having you as the mascot for Philadelphia Eagles.
I'm fucking mascot.
I mean, the pump man. Ooh,
like hype man.
Hype man, yeah.
Yeah, I'm so skinny. They're not going to take me serious. They might take a skinny.
Nah, they take
Look at me.
Seriously.
I'm built like a fucking crackhead, man. Who's going to pay me?
Yeah, you entertain the whole crowd every game. That's a great idea.
But how a skinny guy like me going to hype up 50,000 people?
Michael Blackson, you forget again. Don't underestimate your fame. You're the African king of comedy.
Fuck entertain. If I'm going to be on that football field, I want to play.
You're going to play? Doing what? Can you even kick?
I played soccer as a kid, so I could kick something. I could kick, but don't let me kick the field goal because I can't kick accurately. I never scored. But I could definitely kick the ball far. So maybe I could be a good punter. But punter involves you lifting the ball up and kicking it with your... It's too much work. You know what? I'm just going to stick with comedy.
I don't think you should be a kicker because you're going to end up kicking the ball to the quarterback's eyeball and that's it. Your whole season's over.
So you're wearing the Eagles, Michael Blackson, Eagles number 19.
Real nice one. It's...
And then I'm wearing...
Yeah, what are you wearing?
I'm wearing Eagles, too. I'm wearing a jersey. This is the authentic jersey to wear during the game.
Wow, really?
This jersey came from one of my very good friend of mine's, Nelson Aguilar.
Aguilar?
Let me tell you the story of Aguilar, okay?
Yeah.
Aguilar, first of all, Super Bowl champion. He won the Super Bowl with the Eagles.
Whoa, congratulations.
The following season, you know, he didn't have such a great season. And then he became a free agent. The Raiders picked him up. He went to Oakland. Play his ass off.
Wow.
The thing about this, what I love best about the NFL, when you're a free agent and you got that 1 year contract and you play like you just received $100 million, that's when you are rewarded. Because he went there, play his ass off. I mean, broke his own records, you know, and then became a free agent again. And now everybody want to pay you money.
Wow.
And they end up going to, he just signed with New England for like 2-3 years for like very good money, like crazy money, like $7 or $10 million a year, something ridiculous.
Oh my God.
So shout out to Nelson.
Nelson, congratulations.
Yes, I have his jersey. He actually signed it for me.
Unwashed jersey straight from the game?
Straight from the game, unwashed, brand new before the game jersey. And I also have one for another person with Eagles I can't think of right now because I'm confused. But, you know, it's all about sports.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you know, to get to become a player, to, you know, Brady, to get to like, who is it, quarterback for the Chiefs? Holmes, you know, to get to become Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott, to become those great ones, you know, Donaldson, it all starts where?
Yeah.
Where does it all start?
It starts from home.
It starts from home, honestly, right. Thanks, to become a great player, it starts from home, discipline at home, listen to your parents or whoever your guardian is.
Yeah.
You know, it all starts from being disciplined as a young kid. You know, because football players, these kids have been playing this game for a long time. The only guys that have not been playing football for a long time that come here and they end up playing in college are kids that come from overseas, like mostly Nigeria. You know, Nigeria kids. Nigerians are some of the few Africans that are born big. You know, Nigerians are just big size. You know, Ghanaians...
Did you play football when you was in high school?
I played soccer.
Soccer?
I played soccer back home when I was a kid. I played soccer mostly in Liberia, where I spent most of my African life, was in Liberia. And I played soccer there as a kid. The Nigerians are like, for some reason, they're bigger guys. So they could come to America at like 18, 19 years old, go to college, and right away just
boom.
The coach like, give me that big guy that don't speak much English. He looks like he hits hard. And next thing you know, a Nigerian guy, you know, so many of them, I can't think of their names right now. But, you know, it goes from discipline at home, and then, of course, these guys been playing since babies, 6 years old, all the way to, like, you know, elementary school to high school.
I got to train my Chinese baby to play.
Yes, start. It's a good, very lucrative sport, you know, but it's also probably the most dangerous sports of all.
It is, huh?
You know, one thing I don't like about the NFL for a sport so dangerous is the only sport that the money is not guaranteed. The only thing you're guaranteed to get is your signing bonus. Ooh. So when you get a contract, your goal is to get as much money up front as possible, because if you go out there and break your leg and you're done for the rest of your life, at least you guaranteed that signing bonus.
Oh, signing bonus.
So like I said, start from home and then to high school, so everything else, discipline and your coach and listening and all of that. But to get into the NFL, you have... You know, the number one place, the easiest way to get in the NFL is to get drafted by the NFL.
Yeah.
getting drafted. Now, to get drafted, you know, you have to be good. And also, you have to go to a good school where they look at players from. Oh, I mean, if you go to Alabama or Ohio State, you're almost guaranteed to enter in the NFL. You could be the water boy on the Ohio State team or Alabama team, and when your water boy years are over, most likely you'll be NFL water boy.
How come they got a lot of potential NFL players?
It's the program. They have good program. It's the good coaching. I mean, you know, I've been an Ohio State fan in recent years, and that because, you know, my family member ended up going there. But prior to that, me being raised in Philly, you know, Penn State was a school I rooted for. I rooted for Penn State because it was my state school. It was in Pennsylvania, where, you know, Philadelphia is part of Pennsylvania. So rooted for Penn State, and also Temple when they were, you know, when they decided to play well. But Temple always had good basketball. Temple University wasn't really big in football, but they're getting better with football. But Penn State was who rooted for. Till my nephew went to Ohio State, and I became an Ohio State fan. I even went up there a few times, performed for the students, met the head coach. Me and him had a great conversations. You know, I put on their rings. You know, I watched them win the first college football championship.
Wow.
This happened in 2014-2015 season when they came up with a college playoff system where four teams make the playoffs, right? Two play each other, and then the winners of the game play in the national championship as a new playoff championship.
Wow.
And I think, but I do believe and think that it should be more college playoff teams. Four to me is so, I mean, in the NFL, come on, it's like what? Eight players that, you know, eight teams in each conference that makes the playoffs. And colleges has a lot more teams than NFL, hundreds of teams. So I think they should extend the playoff to like at least eight teams, at minimum eight teams, you know. So hopefully, I'm hoping that will happen, that with other teams will have opportunities where you could have a number eight team upsetting a number one team. And, you know, you never know what will happen in the playoffs. You know, this week is NFL draft this week.
Hey, Mike, you have a bloodline of an NFL player.
Yes, we're going to bring him up later.
Yeah, it's amazing.
This week is, you know, I don't understand. I don't know where that blood came in, because it definitely wasn't in my blood. It must have been in his father's blood. Because my blood is like, we bunch of, all the guys in my family are like skinny as hell. We're all built like, successful crackheads. And all the women are thicker in my family. Like, all the women are thicker, the men are skinny. Like, look at me. I have a body of a 12-year-old lesbian. No disrespect to the lesbians that are built like me. But yeah, I'm built like a crackhead that made it with money.
Mike, you're built like a kicker. You should have been a kicker on the NFL.
Kick what? I look like...
You don't need muscles to kick.
I look like this. Four of me would make two field goal posts, okay? They put me on top of each other. They could kick the ball right between me.
Just hope nobody tackles you while you're kicking in.
Or like my fans would say, they could use my gap to kick the field goal, okay? And it would still be good, regardless
crazy hitters,
where they're kicking it from. Today's, like I said, this week is about the NFL draft, and our special guests this week are football players. You know, I got two first-round draft picks, and then the other guy might be a second or third-round draft pick. But, they're all from the school that I rooted for the last 7 years, maybe. When did my nephew go there? I think he went there like 2012. I've been rooting for them for the past 8 to 10 years. I've been rooting for this team, you know, because they give my family member a chance.
Wow.
You know, and trust me, getting to a good college to play football is very difficult. And then not only just is that difficult, then now I'm trying to make it from that to the pros is even more difficult.
Wow.
You know, so shout out to Urban Meyer, the ex-coach of Ohio State, for giving my nephew a chance. And then, of course, you know, like I said, I was there. I watched him play. You know, he redshirted for a while. I think his freshman year, he redshirted. And then he played his sophomore.
He's pretty good, Mike. I've seen his highlights.
Oh, yeah.
Kid is fast.
Had a great, great college.
He reminds me of you. He's fast. He's very fast, but on a different way. You're very fast at the, like, nightclubs. He catch balls in a field. You catching women. You're pretty fast. You guys kind of have the same ability.
Yes, we do. I'm very good at catching women. He's intercepted a few balls in college and deflected a lot of balls. And I'm very proud of him. And this thing about the NFL, man, is like you're not guaranteed, you know, people, you could be a number one pick and next thing you know, you're not playing at all.
Wow.
You know, so lasting in this league for over 4 years, you have accomplished something, you know. So shout out to him for still surviving in this league. But yes, it's all about draft this week. I want to know who are the future kids coming out. You know, when is the right time for a kid to come out of college? Yeah. You know, if he feel like he's good enough, you know, when is a good time to come out? You know, and is sometimes you get out to come out too soon or you come out too late. Like, you know, that's what it's all about today. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's bring our guests on the show. My first guest is my nephew.
Yeah.
I don't know when this kid became bigger than me. I remember him as this very small, squinty little kid. In fact, his mother, who is my sister, was so busy with college and working. At one point, she sent him to Africa as a kid to spend time with his auntie just to give his mother chance to finish school and work at the same time. Oh. And then he came back to the States, you know, probably like 9, 10 years old. And, you know, went to a great school in Voorhees, New Jersey, you know, end up playing football. I don't know where this, all of a sudden, where this football thing came from. All of a sudden, he became like a great quarterback, you know. And
how long was he there?
Maybe a couple of years. I don't remember. Really? Yeah, he was there for a couple of years. And he could tell more about it. Yeah, I don't remember exactly the time.
That's pretty interesting.
But, you know, he came out, started playing football, and like, you know, I guess like this is like middle school now, and I think when he got to high school, he played partial quarterback and maybe cornerback. And then all of a sudden, at 13 years old, the coach of Ohio State, before Urban Meyer was
13?
There. At 13? Oh, yeah. These college coaches look at these kids that at early? 13 years old, sometimes even younger. So he was already looked at 13 years old. At 13 years old, he was already an Ohio State Buckeye. Yes. And then it went on, and one thing led to another, end up in Ohio State, and you know, I remember going to a few of their bowl games. For the first bowl game I went to, he was a redshirt freshman. He didn't play at all. And the following year, he got to play, and just he was a beast.
Wow.
You know, so my little nephew, Eli Apple, is in the building.
Eli Apple in the house.
All right, and then my next guest, I have another guest also. There's another kid, too, that was like a big surprise. You know, he also played with my nephew, who was a quarterback, who won them their first college playoffs championship game. You know, that was the first year they had a championship. This quarterback, he was the third string quarterback.
Wow, third string quarterback?
Everybody got hurt. This guy was the third string quarterback. Nobody knew anything about him. We knew in Ohio State, we knew they were done.
Wow.
They went in.
Cinderella story.
Cinderella story.
Is.
They went out and won. They won their conference championship game, went to the playoffs, beat Alabama in the playoffs, ended up going and beating Oregon in the national championship game.
Wow.
My boy Cardale Jones is here.
Cardale Jones in the building.
Then we have a more recent pick from Ohio State. He was also our first round draft pick from Ohio State.
Ohio State. We got Ohio State all in the house.
I actually met him he was in Hollywood just vacationing right during COVID last year. Sometimes he was out here vacationing and I got to meet him. He had just been drafted into the NFL, drafted by the Raiders, one of the great cornerbacks of our era, and look how this kid's gonna be one of the kids of the future. Damn it, Arnett is gonna be there tonight.
Yeah.
All right, let's bring our guys on. Let's talk football, Manasoka.
Star-studded event show right here, Michael Blogson.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, give a big hand for Ohio State, one of the greatest players of Ohio State in the building today, Manasoka.
Whoa!
Yes. All right, fellas, this week is NFL draft. We're gonna talk about the draft a little bit, you know. Ohio State, shout out to your school, Ohio State, right? Yeah. Buckeyes.
Go Bucks.
Buckeyes in the building. Damn it, you know, I got to watch. I'm not sure. Was you there when Eli was playing? Mm-hmm. For real? So you was like a freshman?
He's a young punk. He's a young punk back then. Yeah.
Simba. You was what?
Simba.
What's a Simba?
Lion King.
Oh. Almighty, Baba.
He said Simba. I'm thinking Simba. Like it's like a position. He's out of Simba. Like, they'd be like, hey, get the Simba. Yeah, there's a Simba right here. All right, so this week is a draft. I've always been curious to, like, when do kids decide to leave the college and go to pros? Like, who made the decision? Like, who made the decision for you, Eli? Was it you? Did you feel like, okay, because you didn't, it's not like you did your whole 4 years. You got out at a junior, right?
Yep, early.
You got out early.
Redshirt sophomore, so 2 years.
So after you played 2 years, you was done.
All right.
What made a decision that it was time for you to go? Is it you? You feel like you have accomplished everything you need to accomplish? And
right. Yeah, I feel like I put out good enough film to be able to, you know, take my talents to the NFL and play 2 years, won a championship, and then we had finished, was it the bowl game? And I knew right before that that I wanted to, you know, go.
You
wanted
to go.
Was talking about it with my parents, agent, already had all that lined up. But I wasn't really talking to anybody about it other than a couple guys on the team, but yeah.
Okay, good. Jamie, let me talk to Jamie 1 second. All right, when did you got an early too?
I did all 5.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's interesting. It paid off. All right, you did all 5. You completed.
Yeah.
Did you get a degree?
Yeah.
In what? High go seek, motherfucker, on the job?
Communication.
Communication, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, you also got an album out. Is it an album or a single?
Well, I got a new single out, YU, and Free Smoke, On The Rise, and Sly, and 4 singles, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what's your style of music? Is it like a southern, where you from originally? Is it Florida?
Florida, Fort Lauderdale.
From Fort Lauderdale, okay.
Yeah.
Who else from over there? Is it Kodak Black?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He from Pompano, but same area.
Same area. Who else? What, Trick Daddy?
Trick Daddy.
Oh, yeah, Trick Daddy from out there.
Rick Ross.
Rick Ross, okay.
Nah, he from Miami, though.
Okay, so there's a difference.
Fort Lauderdale. Yeah, it's a difference.
All right, so you completed, you finished college,
yeah,
and made it to the league. So that your parents are proud,
yeah,
got your degree.
They happy.
Anything happen, you could at least fucking communicate, right?
But I need to go get my degree. I ain't never go pick it up.
You gotta go back and pick it up.
Yeah, I ain't.
Because you got a degree.
I'm gonna tell you what happened because I was late to the graduation and they already called my name.
Seriously?
So when I got there, they already passed them out. And then I just went with a random row, and I forgot my damn hat too. So I was looking, you know.
Was you high, nigga? What you talking about?
So I just went up there, shook the hand, took a picture with the thing, but there was nothing in it.
Ah, because they already passed your name.
They already passed it, and I ain't know if they told me I had to go to the office.
So where did you think they sold it? Where your shit at?
Man, I don't know.
They didn't mail it to you?
Nah, they ain't give it to me.
Yeah.
So I think I graduated.
Yeah. It's official, man. I saw that my Patreon page is now live. My weekly Titty Tuesday and Twerking Thursdays are moving exclusively to Patreon, where they could no longer be censored by the social media companies. I will also be sharing daily updates plus show announcements here first. See you on Patreon, you mother suckers.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout. And woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, man, you grabbed that. That can't be, you did a whole 5 years.
That's it's like, it's bad, though, because you were saying, when did you know you was going to leave? After my third year.
Did you play 3 years? Like, how many years did you play?
I played 4.
Okay.
So after I started nickel my red shirt freshman year.
Okay.
And then that next year after everybody left, after Marshawn left, Malik and Gary on, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm next. Like, me and Denzel, we out of here. You know what I'm saying? I was thinking about that all year. Fucked me up. And then the next year, I was like, all right, yeah, I got to be gone after this year.
I mean, is it like for you to, like, get out and be a draft pick? I mean, is it like you start hearing rumors that people are looking at you? You have a potential?
Yeah, yeah. And I know they know right here before the season don't mean nothing. Right. And I was taking that to my head. Like, oh, yeah, I'm going. And I was going out there not doing what I needed to do. You know what I'm saying?
Because you already knew you was out.
Yeah, I just knew. And I actually I didn't fly, like my fourth year, when we had the Rose Bowl, I didn't fly back with the team. Because I told them I'm leaving. I came back to just get my stuff, clean out my apartment, and ended up staying.
Oh, wow. Rose Bowl, y'all played in Cali, right?
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah.
You know what? Y'all played,
Washington.
Y'all played Washington. Because, you know, actually did a show, because I know the Rose Bowl was here, and it was Ohio State against Washington, but them niggas made me perform for Washington kids. They had the Washington students at the Improv in Hollywood. I'm like, what Ohio State? I want to perform for Ohio State. They had me perform for Washington students. I remember y'all was in the Rose Bowl. That's the year that you was done after that.
Yeah, after that
the game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Y'all did win the game.
Yeah, we won that game.
Good. Okay.
Congratulations. Woo-hoo! We got a lot of champions here, Mike.
All right, Cardell, you got to get this mic, motherfucker.
This, the famous Cardell Jones, the Cinderella story, man.
Don't start with me, Christian.
All right, so I remember, you know, you was third string quarterback, meaning like everybody got to be hurt. Wow. I mean, the quarterbacks got to be broken leg, torn ACL, broken fibula, gonorrhea, chlamydia. I mean, this nigga's not gonna. Wow. What are the chances of everybody getting hurt? Braxton got hurt, right?
Yeah.
He was the first one. And after that, JT got hurt.
Wow.
That's God doing his work.
Yeah.
That's God's work.
He's a good man.
When it's your time, you know, God got to knock a couple of niggas out the way for you to run. No disrespect. And Braxton, they're all my homies. You know what I mean? I'm like, what are the chances of two quarterbacks getting hurt back to back to put this guy in?
Wow.
Right? And I know when they call your name, you're just like, you guys want some water?
Wow.
Yeah.
I think they call me my accident. But, somebody said they're pregnant by me. Why are they calling my name?
Wow.
This helmet don't even fit. I know.
Nah.
How many years were you in the league, though,
how many years I was there at Ohio State
before you started playing?
That point, this was going into my third season, so I was there 2.5 years. So finally had an opportunity to play, unfortunately, due to injuries. But, yeah, and the rest is history, man. But you're right. When they called my name, I was, you know, I was actually watching the game on a jumbotron. and the game is delayed, so the jumbotron happened. So he already down on the field, so I'm seeing a delay. So everybody calling me, and I'm looking at the play, and it's like I said, it's like about a half a second, 2 second delay. And like, oh shit, and something just happened.
Michigan or Michigan State?
Michigan. Yeah,
that's where it all started.
Yep.
Wow. Hold up. Was that which game did I go to? It was cold as hell. That was Michigan State game I went to.
That was State. Yeah. Michigan State. Yeah.
All right. So they called you to play in this game. Right? Were you guys down or up?
It was still a tight game. I think we were maybe up by maybe 1 or 2 points or something like that. So it was still a lot of game left and still the whole fourth quarter. So we was at a point definitely in the fourth quarter where we were trying to put them away, put the game out of reach, at least 2 scores. And I remember, man, my first pass, man, I probably threw it to the cheerleaders on the sidelines somewhere. And I was so freaking nervous and stuff like that. And they were just like, oh, man, just run them a little bit, get the jitters out and stuff like that. That's what happened, and I think we go for it on, I think it was like a fourth down, maybe 4th and 2 to 3, right around midfield to pretty much seal the game, and freaking Zeke take it to the house. I mean, 48, 50 yards for a touchdown. You know, to pretty much seal the game, and then clearly the defense held it down to keep him out the end zone, and shit, we went on, beat them, and then the Big Ten championship game, then Sugar Bowl, then championship.
Right. All right. So you guys had lost one game that season. Who y'all lost to?
We lost the home opener to Virginia Tech. And
that's right.
Yeah, that was a tough opener. One. They came out. I think it was the first Ohio State home opener that they lost in over like, you know, 10, 15 years, too.
It wasn't Vic's brother, was it?
No. He's way older than us. Yeah, yeah. I don't remember the quarterback, but it wasn't no Vic.
Hell no. Wow. All right. And then you went on, and I remember that Wisconsin. When I knew you guys were playing Wisconsin, I knew it was a wrap. Because Wisconsin was it number?
They were favored to win. I think they were favored by every game we went into that game, the next three games, we were underdogs by 10 plus points. And at the time, Wisconsin had the number one statistically defense in the country.
Right.
And then they had the best running back in the country as well. This guy was averaging, Melvin Gordon was averaging, you know, 230 rushing or something like that. Crazy Eli, right?
Right.
He was but, yeah, man, we just went out there and put it on him.
Yeah, I did it, man. And then after that, I became a believer after that because I knew that I was going to Wisconsin, it was going to be over. Yeah, when y'all beat Wisconsin, I met my sister, who's Eli's mom, like, hey, they are going. She told me I made the playoffs after y'all beat Wisconsin.
Yeah,
the first year, I'm like, I couldn't believe. Because I thought even though y'all beat them, I still didn't think it was going to pick you guys to go to be the top four.
Yeah, because we went into that game as number six overall. And then, so you had, I think, TCU and Baylor at 4 and 5. So at the time, Big 12 didn't play a championship game. So they were off that weekend. The whole argument is like, okay, well, TCU, Baylor, they both split a game. And who are we going to get at number four spot? Then they weren't even talking about the number six team, clearly us, especially after we losing our starting quarterback. So we go out there.
You guys were number 16 in the country?
We was number six.
Six, okay.
Yeah. Right. So we go out there and be, you know, number one defense statistically. And I think Wisconsin was maybe top 10 somewhere there at that point. So that kind of gave us the upright to jump them from six to get into the top four.
And y'all went up there and kicked ass.
Yeah. I mean,
what was the score? Like 59 to a donut?
Yeah, 59-0. Yeah. But we had a great offense and we played good on offense. But like I said before, man, our defense, we shut down the Heisman hopeful at the time, and then we get on and play, you know, the following two games against the other two guys who was at the Heisman Trophy ceremony, and the guy who won it, Marcus Mariota, that year, and our defense just completely shut those guys down for, you know, below average of what they usually was getting per game.
Yep, I was there, man. I went to New Orleans for that. What bowl was that called?
Sugar Bowl.
Sugar Bowl, that's right. You guys play Alabama, my guy. At one point, you guys were down by 10 points or something like that.
We were down by two scores. Yeah, going into halftime. But from the beginning of that game, we never felt like, and Eli can attest to this.
We outgained them by like, I want to say.
Yeah, we had almost 400 yards in the first half. Right. They, you know, our defense was holding it down. I think Alabama had maybe around 150, 160. Wow. And we, as offense, got into the red zone. We stalled twice. We settled for field goals. Mm-hmm. So we put our defense in tough positions. But we knew we could play with these guys, even though it was number one team in the country. And quite frankly, we feel like we was better. And then, like I said, we came out second half and pretty much just shut them down.
Got you. And then you go to the championship game. I remember being in Dallas. You guys won that game. LeBron came out. Everybody, I mean, LeBron was there. It was crazy.
Dang. Yeah. Yeah.
By the sideline.
Right. Yeah. That was crazy because another freaking tall task for the defense. They was playing against the Heisman Trophy winner.
So I talk about these guys coming out. Eli felt when he knew he won a championship. He also, I think that your last game, I think you was defensive player of the game. Right,
Fiesta Bowl.
Fiesta Bowl, defensive player.
Wow, congratulations, Eli Apple.
And then came in, you played all your 5 years, you already knew your name was next.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, all right, here you are, you play those three big ones.
Yeah, yeah.
Three big ones that you started from beginning to the end, kick everybody ass. You was flawless, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you haven't played a lot in the league, bet nobody knew nothing bad about you. All they know is how you just know how to win.
Exactly.
Why you didn't come the fuck out?
Yeah, what happened, Cardale Jones?
I mean, after that year we won championships, it was such a small sample size, which was good and bad. Mentally, I wasn't really prepared to come out and, you know, take my talents to the NFL and have an opportunity to finally provide for my family and kind of live out my dream, because it was so much stuff I was still learning about myself and being a quarterback and being a starter. You know, I was kind of threw into that position. You know, and rightfully so because of injuries. But me personally, I mean, you know, the critics and things, people can look back and say, why did he come out? He probably would have made more money, better drafting, stuff like that. But I know me, I would have went to a situation where I would have been forced to play and start early and probably not took it as well if I was a little more mature at the time.
So was this your decision, your coach's decision, your mother's decision?
It was mine. It was kind of a decision. It was kind of tough because that year it pushed the season back 2 weeks because of the playoff game and the championship. So it pushed the season back 2 weeks. So usually after the season, when we had the BCS era, where the number one and number two team, they play one game early January, and then you get 2.5 weeks to decide as a player if you want to come out or not.
Right.
So the process is, and these guys know it, you put your name in and see what type of pick you would be, and that's how you determine if you want to come out or not.
Did you put your name in there?
Yeah, but I had 2 days to decide after the national championship game. Because they didn't push in the NFL, they got it right after that year. They didn't push back that deadline of when players can commit or pretty much put their name in for the draft. Now it's like late January when a championship game is played early January. But like I said, at that time, it was the first year of the playoff system, so it was still early January. Right. So literally, after the game, clearly the team is celebrating. We flying back the next day. I'm getting, my phone is blowing up. I'm getting questions in the press conference the next morning. Are you going to go to the NFL? Like, I got to think about it. Like, oh, well, you got a day and a half. It's like, what? Yeah. I'm like, I'm trying to go back to Clemens and help design a national championship ring, you know, stuff like that. So definitely wasn't prepared.
So is
to
that
even
how it works? You put your name in this hat? Is that?
You get a grade back. You put your name in for.
Did that happen to you?
Yeah.
So when you put your name in there, what grade did you get? Like A, B, C, D? How did
it's like
first, you went
second,
top 10. Yeah. What you think is great
for us? First, second, you know. Or just don't put your name in there. They'll basically just tell you if you're gonna go first, second round, third.
Oh, they'll tell you.
Yeah, or if you're gonna be undrafted. Yeah.
So you never got a chance to find out.
No, and because when you put your name.
What the hell? What's going on?
But even if, like I said, even if I did, it wasn't a strong quarterback class that year because the two guys you think about is Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota. I literally don't know who else was in that class. So I potentially would have been a number three quarterback in that class and potentially first round. But even if I put my name in, had the time to dissect it, I still personally think that I still came back to school.
For real?
Yeah.
You did.
Because also I wanted to finish my degree too.
Now they tell you you've been my fifth pick, motherfucker.
Fifth.
All right, so with all high odds resulted, do you regret not putting your name down?
Yeah.
Not really. I don't regret it or regret leaving because, like I said, mentally, I mean, the money would have been better, but mentally, I wasn't ready.
You're ready. Okay. Yeah. What do you think?
What do you think about that, sir?
You think he should have got out?
I would have been up through. the moment we won, I would have been fine
because I knew I'm gone. I'm leaving.
It's over.
I mean, those guys. You didn't get to play Watson at all that year, did you? You said Watson was one of them?
No, Jameis Winston was the number one quarterback. Marcus Mariota. Yeah.
Marcus Mariota. Yeah.
That was it. Marcus Mariota and Jameis Winston, that was it. I'm pretty sure it was all the good quarterbacks a year, but I can't think of them on top of my head.
Those are the only two that we think of right now. Yeah. They're like still around.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Watson was about two years
after. Yeah, because you came the year after. No, you came out the same year.
A year after.
I said, so you could have came the year before him.
Yep.
The year after.
I'm a year older than him, but we all left school to go to the draft the same year.
2016.
So, yep. Got you. Huh? So you don't feel injuries, Mr. Cardell?
He had no injury. He just that he felt like he felt he only played 3 games.
That was it.
But you know,
I played a month of college football in 3 years. That was it. Month and a half.
Hey, but you could have still stole it. You could still stole some money.
Yeah.
No, I mean now you know you live. You could still stole some money. Yeah. It would have been the biggest theft in history. Play 3 games and become fifth pick.
Yeah.
Fifth pick is like guaranteed $20 million.
At least. Yeah.
And so, and half of that gonna be guaranteed unless you're a cracker or you're a gambler. That could last you the rest of your life if you do your money right.
Yeah,
if
for
you
sure.
Your money right. You know, but at the end of the day, when you die, you're not gonna take this money with you. So it's all about being mentally prepared for whatever it is. It's like. It's the same thing with entertainment, you know. But the thing with football is so physical. And, you know, you're not guaranteed the next game because you break something. So, I mean, my advice to the new kids that are out there going to be coming out, when that, because the thing with college, especially like running backs, you know, even this guy played fucking every year, 4 years he played. By the time you get to the league, your body's already hurting. You already don't sacrifice, you already play your ass off, you know, and got no money. So now you get to the NFL, you know, even though you're a rookie, you've been playing 5-6 years straight. You know, but you only played 3 games. You could have stole some money from you.
Yeah, I mean, the money definitely would have been better than getting drafted the following year in the fourth round. But still, though, I still think I was way more mature and ready to take on a lifestyle, to be an NFL quarterback. You know, I was still, like I said, learning how to be a college quarterback. Now you're telling me I got to take another jump to learn how to be an NFL guy. And you don't have as many safe havens around you when you take that jump to the NFL, and the guys is going to really tell you how to do certain things. Because I was going to go into a situation where I had to start right away. That's where your first top quarterbacks are going to go to, right? And me trying to piggyback off another guy that he drafted me to replace him probably wouldn't have been great. Vice versa, the following year when I get drafted to a team where they had a veteran quarterback, Tyrod Taylor, and he know I really wasn't a threat to his position, he can really, in a way, groom me, take me under his wing. And then being out here in Cali with Phil, he know I wasn't a threat to his position.
Were you praying for an injury?
No, I wasn't praying for no injury, one, man. Still my teammates at the end of the day, man. But yeah, you just want to be in a position where I learn from a veteran guy who's doing on a high level.
So at the end of the day, you made this decision not to get out after you won all these games and beat the guy that became number one pick, right? He big Mariota. So you stayed in. Your school was very happy with that. Yeah, I'm sure
the coach
happy.
Too, Mike. The
I'm
coach.
Sure they're all happy. But then you come, and I remember that season. That season was not what you expected it to be.
The following season,
The following season, where you pretty much sacrificed $20 million to come back and, you know, of course, to learn more about football and make your school happy, because then, like, you know, they felt like they could win this again.
We definitely had an opportunity to win the thing again, because I mean, all the guys that came back, you know, and Eli was young at that point, but you know, that 15 season, and then, you know, Damon coming in and being a part of something great. We had still 14 guys drafted off that team, you know, in the first four rounds. We was definitely loaded with talent, but we had one slip up versus Michigan State that, you know, that kept us from playing in the playoffs and national championship game, which where we crushed everybody else. But so even though we won a Fiesta Bowl and beat a really good Notre Dame team, it was still a letdown for us personally, because we know we should have been in the playoffs and we would have smacked where we were playing and, you know, played national championship game.
Who did Clemson won that year? Or was it
Alabama? Alabama won that year. Yeah, they beat
in
the playoffs? Oh, they beat Michigan State in the playoffs. They beat Michigan State in the playoffs like 30-something-0.
Right. And then,
they beat Clemson in a championship.
Yeah, that was a crazy game.
Remember that year. All right.
Mike, I think they owe Cardale Jones a statue at Ohio State.
Nah, man. Ohio State was good to me.
They won the first playoff championship ever. So they they started that off. And
that was ever?
And that's why, the first ever. It was the first playoff game ever where number four beat number one. Were they number one?
Number four beat
number one. That's why I said I think that you have give more college more playoff, get more opportunity. Let number one play number eight. I think four is so, I mean, it's
that's
like,
tough though. That's tough. You ask for more playoff game and you ain't paying these kids.
Yeah, that's true. That's more chance that I'm getting hurt.
Yeah, and then you shrink that time down a spring ball, because now you ask for eight teams. You push in the season back another potentially month and a half. And now there's less time to recover, get ready for your spring ball and then the following season.
Yeah, man. If you end up number five, you'd be pissed the fuck up, won't you, motherfucker?
Exactly. Yeah, you end up number five in the draft, you'd be happy and walk out with no injuries. But, I mean, what's the chance?
Meaning like number five on like, if they're only picking four and if your team is
You still don't have to keep nobody happy, because if you push it to eight teams, now the 9 and 10 will be pissed. Oh, right. We should have got in, you know. Yeah, so that's
turn this to the basketball tournament.
These guys won a lot of bowls, man.
So your advice for kids coming out, don't do it for the money, be mentally prepared, or what? What the fuck are you telling this nigga?
I think you got your I think at the end of the day, whatever your goal is and whatever that's gonna motivate you to take that jump, make sure it's yours, not someone else's. Like, you can't let your coach, your parents, or anyone else put the pressure on you to do something that's gonna benefit them.
Hey, Del, was your coach put pressure on you to stay?
He put pressure. He gave me his input on why I should come back. I mean, I took that with a grain of salt.
That's why.
That's right.
But I listened to him out of respect. I listened to him out of respect.
Okay. But if he would have told you, get out, you would have got out.
No, I mean, I still got my own. Different reasons. If he would have said, get out because I'm recruiting somebody, I know my guy is going to come here and I'm starting him no matter what, yeah, I'd have left. But if he just said, get out because I think you're ready and stuff like that, yeah, he can think all he want, but I only want to know what I want or how I feel or what I think about
it. You want to be a better quarterback.
Exactly.
I understand it. That's like even an amateur comedian going to do a contest, win a contest, right? And he only did like 15 minutes because all the nigga has is 15 minutes of material. He win this contest. All of a sudden, it's a big one-hour competition next week. You're like, oh, I'm not ready for that.
Yeah.
Don't put me in there yet because you want to go embarrass. You felt like you wasn't mentally ready.
Exactly.
To be an NFL quarterback.
Yeah, I haven't even played. I played three. Like I said, I played a month and a half of college football.
That's a different
NFL. NFL is 16. Well, 17 games. That's a 16-game season having a routine, yeah, a body routine.
Yes, but it's
big money, Mike.
You're still going to be a rookie. You're not going to start anyway.
Well, no, in that position, I'd have left after that. Top 5, top 10 picks, you're going somewhere that team that probably lost a lot of games because of the quarterback.
Gotcha.
So you're probably going to play fairly early.
So you probably would have ended up like Jets some fucking way, right?
Depends on what they had at the time. But yeah, something like that. A team that's going to have an early pick that's most likely ready to rebuild. Because all these early picks, you look at these early picks in the league, what they doing? They have new coaches or got rid of everybody and they rebuilding and starting over. You see, they have these top 5-10 picks.
So you felt like you wasn't ready for NFL?
No, yeah, exactly. Okay. Mentally, not physically, mentally.
What's up, Marasokas? This is your African King of Comedy, Michael Blackson. I'm here to ask you a question. Are you subscribed to my podcast, the Mother Sucker Podcast with me, Michael Blackson? If not, you are missing out on the crazy interviews, the exclusive behind-the-scenes content of my life, and tons of VIP celebrity guests. So listen up, Mother Sucker. Stop what you are doing right now and go find the Mother Sucker Podcast with me, Michael Blackson, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast. Subscribe. It's free. So go do it right now. Don't forget to catch a new episode every Tuesday.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
But Mike, I heard that his coach in the college, his college team, Ohio State, became a NFL coach now.
Yeah, Urban Meyer, he down there in Jacksonville.
Don't you think, because I know
he doesn't have a team,
you're looking
right
for
now.
A team right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't you think he owes you?
Yes, you owe this guy.
I wouldn't say he owes me or feel it.
Fuck that shit. What's that guy saying? Give him the mic. Give him the mic. Hey, what do you think about that, son?
Talk to
him,
yeah.
You know how this quarterback's got to be politically correct.
Yeah.
I'm about to say.
You think Urban Meyer owe him for at least coming back and then not getting out early? They owe him to at least put him on the team, right? Guarantee him at the Jaguars.
Shit. Owe me too, though. So that's how I But my honest opinion, people know I'm going to say what I want. I feel like you should hit his ass up and be like, Cole, come on now. Remember you told me you wanted, didn't think I was ready. I thought I was ready, but I came back for you and the damn team.
Yeah.
Help me out.
Straight up.
Yeah.
Woo! Nah.
We want Cardale Jones.
I definitely get where you're coming from. And me and him spoke about, you know, masculinity and stuff like
recently?
That. Yeah, at the Ohio State Pro Day, and we spoke. And I mean, he said he keep, you know, my name in mind and things like that because they got some decisions to make at quarterback. But clearly, they're going to take, you know, a quarterback at number one in the draft. But that'd be sweet. I would think, you know, as a human, I would think that would be naturally right.
Yeah.
You know, you got experience with a guy like me, and we won together before to at least have you on your, I ain't saying be your guy, but at least to have you, you know, have me on your team and stuff like that. But that'd be sweet, but we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah.
How about your boy?
Holla at Cardale.
But honestly, though, I wouldn't want to be in a position where he's doing it just a favor. Do it because you believe him and I can be this guy one day.
Of course he does, Cardale.
So, we'll see.
We gotta have the angry translator talk.
Yeah. Angry translator. Translate that for me.
Yeah, how about angry translator? What did he say?
Give me a fucking job.
That's silly, man.
No. Oh, man, that's dope. Yeah, so I don't know. I just think, I mean, this sport is so physical. The least amount of time you're in there, to me, the better it is, you know. And, you know, now you make it to the league. The other trick is staying in the league.
That's another thing. The hard part, huh?
You know, you become a first round draft pick, you almost guarantee those 3-4 years, whatever you got. We signed for like 4 years?
Yeah.
Your first year is 4 years, right?
Right.
Right. Yep. So you guarantee that 4 years when you're a first round draft pick. Is that true?
Well, your contract is based off 4 years. You're not guaranteed the 4 years.
There's no guarantee contracts. Yeah.
You know? There's no guarantee year wise. It's just guaranteed money.
Just a signing bonus.
Year wise, it's no guarantee year.
We wow. So they could
years.
Just.
They let's got it. Rid of guys before their contract.
I mean, the guy at the Jets the 2 years ago, rookie, first round pick, got cut in camp. There was a D lineman. I think it was from Alabama. Not the guy from Alabama. It was a D lineman, though. But he had like 4 incidents in the offseason.
And then this year, too.
Who?
Is that what you're talking about?
Was it this year?
Yeah, it was this year.
The guy he got drafted. Okay, yeah. He got drafted to the Jets and last April, and they cut him before the season even started because he had 3 or 4 issues, major issues off the field. So he signed a 4-year. Yeah, I don't know. I forgot the guy's name. But he signed, you signed on the dotted line. Yeah, 4 years, X amount of money, this and that. But, you know, when they get rid of you, they're gonna take a hit of the salary cap and pay your money up front right then and there. It might hurt them, but it's better for them in the long run as a team. Cutthroat.
Yeah.
Cutthroat.
You say NFL stands for what?
Not for long.
Right. Not for long?
Three games, you gotta be out, goddammit. You could have been the first nigga to play 3 games and made it to the league.
Yeah.
First round pick. Even if it's 10th pick, who cares? Pick up $20 million, $10 million guarantee, and you're good for life. If you don't smoke crack and you don't gamble.
Yeah.
But staying in the league is another thing. It's still like even staying healthy. It's a certain way you got to play to stay healthy. Because, I mean, the team gave you all this money, millions of dollars. you know, you got to go out there and give them all you have, right?
Yeah.
You got to make them proud. Like, how you stay, I mean, that'd be tough staying healthy, because I don't remember any of you all staying healthy. This point, you got hurt. Everybody gets hurt.
Well, these don't tell they played in the league, so. Well, I never had a real opportunity to really play, other than preseason games, you know, get banged up a little bit, sore injuries and muscle and stuff like that. But Eli and Dane, they dealt with real injuries that, you know, they had to rehab and stuff like that. So that's a question for them.
Yeah, what kind of injury do you have, sir?
So I'm good right now, but I had broke my
injuries, Christian Dane.
Yeah, I'm good. I ain't got no injuries, but I had a broken wrist.
Oh yeah,
in my senior year of college, and then broke my thumb. This past in camp and everything, but
so how did you break? You broke your wrist senior in college. They still drafted you after that?
Yeah, cause I played. I ain't missed no game. I broke my wrist. I broke my wrist, and it was just I broke it in practice trying to punch at the ball, and then it was just hurting. I was just like, you feel me? They kept on. They were like, what's wrong? I said, I don't know. It was just, but then after like the third game, it kept on hurting. Got an X-ray and it was broken. So I waited until the bye week to get surgery, and I just chilled that bye week, and then I was good for the next week. They just had a cast on it.
See, when you're young, you could do that. You hit 40 years old, a nigga slapped me, I'm done for 3 years. See, young guys, you get break a wrist, and 2 weeks later, you back playing.
And then broke my thumb, though, because my wrist was still weak. I broke my thumb in camp with the Raiders.
Damn.
I, like, fractured it, and then 3 games into the season, I fell on it and dislocated the fracture. So then I was out like 7-8 weeks. Yeah.
Wow. Man, right now you're good. You're healthy right now.
Yeah, I'm good. Play. Yeah, I'm ready. Yeah.
I had a good season, man. I remember that one game I got really pissed. Was it the Dolphins game that pissed me off?
Man, it pissed
still
me
mad.
Off too.
All of y'all got mad.
Yeah, man. Let's talk about Ohio State. Let's talk about Ohio State.
What the thing about it, going to a college like Ohio State where y'all just win all the time, the fans are spoiled. These motherfuckers spoiled, man. Y'all just win. Every time, I don't remember seeing where I lost more than I lost 2 games. I don't. What season was that? I don't remember. Sure. It don't happen. Last year, y'all lost one game last year, right? Well, you wasn't there.
No, but they only played like 8 games that season.
No, they went undefeated last year.
On like 7 years. Yeah.
Undefeated. Wow.
But then they lost in the
They only lost one game.
Shoot, I think 2011 was the last time they lost more than one game. Was the year?
Seven.
They lost 7. They lost 7 in
2011. They lost 7 games?
Yeah, I mean, it was that year. They was coming off like a major scandal with players before them that like the quarterback at the time.
What year was this?
2011. Like, so I was a senior in high school. Yeah.
That was way before you guys got there.
No, yeah, it was way before it was a year before I got there, and we was on probation because of what they did.
That's right. I remember.
They like was getting like,
guns from the army.
No, they were selling memorabilia. Buy guns from the army. Yeah, I don't know what they're doing, but they was selling memorabilia, so things that you won in bowl games, stuff like that. They were selling what you can't do until you're done with school, and they got caught up with all that crap. So it costed them, you know, 4 or 5 major players, the quarterback at the time, the running back, the receiver, and it cost the head coach, too.
Everybody, even the water boy got suspended.
Yeah, the water boy got chalked, too. So, yeah, it cost all those guys eligibility and the opportunity to play. So they had to play the season with their defensive coordinator as the head coach, and they was forced to play these young guys that just came in as freshmen. Braxton Miller was a freshman quarterback, and a couple of the young guys at major positions. And you know, it's just tough when you're young and you got a new coach and trying to learn how to be a college student and a college athlete on top of being forced to play. Right. So they lost 7 games that year, and then ever since then they haven't lost more than one.
Right.
In a season.
So now, I know after you left, because when you went to Buffalo, when you got signed.
I got drafted to Buffalo.
Yeah, drafted by Buffalo Bills. Yeah. And when you were like in the fourth round, were you there 2 years?
I was there a year and a half. Yeah, I got traded the following offseason.
You got traded to the Chargers.
Yep.
And then how long were the Chargers? A year and a half or so?
2 years, 2.5 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so you did your 4 years.
Well, 3.
So you gotta slick. Cause I know
want Cardell back.
I know when you do 4 years is when you.
It's
three. Get pension,
it's
right?
three. Yeah, 3 years of the pitch. It's 3 years on an active roster for 3 games. So you gotta be on an active roster for.
So you
three. So yeah, I got my pension actually. So I mean, yeah, that's a great accomplishment. I mean, it sounds crazy to be play 3 years in the NFL or be on a roster for 3 years. It's a milestone and great accomplishment because your average career is a year and a half.
Yeah.
But I mean, like I said before, that ain't my goal. It's a
get the pension. I'm trying to, you know, really have a career. Yeah,
yeah, you exactly. have to use strong. Yeah, to ready to play
for sure.
Because you went into the XFL, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Fucking had an X. You was doing good, and all of a sudden this Corona nigga decided to show up. Right?
God damn it!
Corona 19.
Why is it happening to our friend Cardale Jones all the time?
Cardale Jones, he could have got out after three games and got $20 million. He didn't get out,
and then
he made it to like he became fourth round pick. Played 2.5 years. Went to the XFL.
Yeah.
Fucking about to win a championship with XFL.
Oh my God!
And then this fucking bitch nigga called Corona 19 shows up.
Oh my God!
And fuck everybody life up.
When is Cardale gonna
get a break? That's the stuff like that that make you a strong person, you know. And I'm guaranteeing you have a team before the season's over.
We'll see. I mean, but you know, the virus screwed up everybody in different aspects of their life. But I'm pretty sure these guys went through it with not having an offseason last year in the lead and trying to find a way to stay in shape, because you can work out and train all year round and all that crap to try to stay in shape for football, but ain't no simulating getting tackled or tackling somebody or getting up off that ground. Mm-hmm. You know, this ain't like basketball. You have a lockout with a virus. You can go to the gym and really get better. The way you get better in football is you got to play it. So I can only imagine how tough it was for these guys to not have preseason, not have a real offseason program, especially coming in a new coach, especially coming in as a rookie and being thrown in the fire. Hey, okay, now we got the team together. We play in 2 weeks.
Okay, cool.
So,
all right, let's talk about groupies.
Yeah.
And then, I was
what kind of groupies?
I was telling them, I said, listen,
talk about groupies,
everything we do in this world, give it a guy.
Hey,
no way.
Cardale Jones is trying to get an ESPN job.
That was the net way.
He ain't trying to get no poor peers. Give him the mic, bro. I was telling my guy the other day, I said, everything we do in this world, believe it or not, we do it for women. Everything is for women, okay, we get a nice car, we're gonna put a girl in it. We get a nice house for the ladies.
See,
everything
fam.
Is.
See, that's why you gotta get around women who do everything for you.
Okay, no way.
Yeah. Where do you find those women? Craigslist something? There's nothing in the world, sir.
I don't know.
Let's everything we do it for, and we know being an entertainer, athlete, we're all targets.
Yeah.
So, you know, my advice. As a veteran in entertainment, because you're still entertainers, you know, is how you deal with stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, how to avoid it, because just you got to look at yourself as a target. Like everybody's is trying to get something out of you. So you just got to watch how you carry yourself. I'm just going to give you my advice, get, you know, how you carry yourself, who you surround yourself around, the type of women you with, you know, and it's hard. It's hard to find the real women that are there for you and you could trust and believe and. Yeah. Not knowing 10 years later they're going to say you touched their nipples or whatever, you know, so.
Scandals.
You got to be careful with that, you know. I mean, what are you guys' thoughts on that? I mean, how this whole Me Too thing's going and how you guys are dealing with stuff like that? How do you handle it?
How you do it, Eli?
Eli's a virgin, man.
Eli just got to be trusting.
Be chill out, man.
Hey, facts. That hair. That's another,
that's right.
Another way to exercise.
Hannah, Pamela.
Yeah. how many girlfriends do you have, Mr. Raiders?
What's his name? How many girlfriends?
He's called Mr. Raiders.
What's wrong with you, man? You asking my man Rico how many girls he got?
Oh,
man. Suave, man.
Yeah, Suave. They all got a chain on that say never.
Suave.
Yeah. Hey, as long as, you know, they're respectful, y'all respectful each other, everything, you know, you feel safe with them, that's all that matters, man. You know, because, you know, you got to have women that you got to trust, you know. They always say the snow bunnies are the ones that get in trouble. Is that true that snow bunnies are the ones snitching on niggas? What's going on?
Yeah, what's going on?
I feel like if the snow bunnies is snitching on you, then you did it.
Oh.
Oh, man, what?
Do tell, Mr. Rico.
For real.
I mean,
guilt.
Don't put yourself in that situation. Good.
Just what?
So, Eli, the podcast people can't hear you. Please talk louder. Eli,
just go, I guess.
I'm just saying, you know.
How you
chill, just, you know.
How do you pick a good
one? You can pick up a vibe if somebody going to be crazy. You definitely
pick a vibe.
That up.
Okay,
and once
good.
You pick it up, you just, you
that's
know, leave. Yeah.
That's good.
You just got to be transparent. I learned you don't sell dreams. That's what me. I don't sell no type of dreams. None at all.
at all. You
that's
can't
good.
Just be honest.
And,
just
and
be
that's honest. So true. Yeah. Straight know up. How to pick your women. And if you catch crazy right away, get rid of crazy, but get rid of crazy in a very safe, intelligent way. Don't be like, fuck you, bitch. Don't call me no more. Be like, hey, how you doing? Everything's good? Just checking up on you, and then you ease your way off.
You see, I'm going to tell the crazy, you got to have somebody else tell them. So it's like somebody ever bring it back to you. It's like, man, I ain't even talked to her in this long.
Okay.
You got to have somebody
always
else.
Always have witness. How would that people around?
But I'm telling you, I know how to do it.
Okay. Yeah. That's good.
You know. Gotta have a good team, man, for sure.
Mike, there's 99.9% crazy women in this world. That's a very hard for.
And another advice from OG to you guys, and I told my nephew that, I said, whenever you are with a woman, just make sure when she leave that night or that morning, walk her to the elevator, give her a hug. The camera's always watching. Ain't no woman gonna come and tell you 10 years later you raped her. I'm like, bitch, look at the camera. I hugged you. Who the hell hug a rapist?
Real talk.
Walk her to the elevator, yeah. Give her a hug, text her, making
did
sure
you make
get home.
Yeah.
Smiley
yeah.
face, hearts.
Don't
whatever.
Get Mike, don't get her an Uber pool.
And she go at least. Whatever she's gonna say, at least have yourself some, you know, have your own witness, cameras, phones, you know, protect yourself sure. at all times. You know what I mean? That's my advice to you guys. Just be careful because your target, you know, there's a lot of thirsty, broke women out there that are looking for a come up. So, you know, just be careful out there. So don't get Watson'd.
What's that?
Watson? Well, that's when you call for a massage. You know what I mean, Watson. No, you know, I feel that's so bad for him. So feel so bad for him because it's like, you know, I don't want to get into that. That's a whole nother show.
Level.
You know, but you guys, I mean, I wish you a lot of luck. On, you know, Raiders is around the street. I'm definitely coming to check you out. Sure. And of course, my nephew now, he's in Cincinnati. My good buddy over there was a crazy dude. Craziest guy that ever played cornerback for the Bengals. He don't play anymore.
Pac-Man.
Pac-Man. Pac-Man. Pac-Man.
Pac-Man.
Pac-Man.
Pac-Man. Pac-Man.
My
homie.
You know, I know.
Is this corner?
Yeah. Money Pac-Man?
No, no. Fucking Manny
Pac-Man Jones.
Pac-Man Jones, my buddy. I'm gonna make sure
you
keep an eye on you. Just don't smoke no weed with that nigga, okay? That's what my advice. You
know, he's there. Is he there?
He got a big house in Cincy. He got a big house in Cincy. He always throwing a party.
Yeah, he's throwing, okay.
Hey, you are in Vegas. Stay off the blackjack tape. You gamble?
Nah, I got poker night at the house, though. I got Netway bucks.
Oh, the fuck is Netway
smart. He's a communication major, Mike. He's very smart.
All right, don't get involved with gambling. You're just that. A lot of niggas going broke. Just I don't want to see y'all niggas go broke, please. Sure. Gambling, drugs, and women will make you go broke. So pick your poison. Just pick the women, okay?
That's a lot of temptations.
Vegas is very tempting. Just stay whatever you stay away from gambling. If you're doing some shit at home with your homies and nothing going crazy over no $1,000. That's good. I could name a whole bunch of players that are broke right now, you know, from gambling. So just stay away from gambling. I gamble and I won't put that shit on anybody. So
yeah, but you never win, Mike, when you gamble.
Yeah, but I'm only losing a couple of $100. Not that bad.
Yeah, you're right.
So yeah, you gamble too, Minnesota.
No, I gamble. You gamble. I put in your bits.
I ain't gambling in a while. I got so mad. I got so mad at the sports bet that I just quit.
Yeah. You have the
I give. I just felt like, you know, whenever you lose a sports bet, you be like, it's rigged. I mean, when you win, it ain't never rigged.
Yeah, never rigged. You need your money.
You lose gambling, period. You think it's rigged.
You think it's rigged. I'm like, how LeBron James scored 30 every game? Now he going to score 15 this game.
Yeah.
He got paid. How the fuck LeBron get paid? He has like $100 billion.
Who could pay LeBron?
Who could pay LeBron to lose a game?
Yeah.
I blame LeBron a few times. I blame Kyrie. Punk motherfuckers. So gambling, look. My advice, if you gamble, don't do it. It's never going to end good. Yeah. You never win. Your house always wins, okay?
It's a reason why the casino lights still on.
His reason why what?
The casino lights always
That's
on.
That's right. The lights. You never see the casino, the lights off, do you?
Yeah. I just found out the money you win from gambling, because I'm doing taxes and shit. That you get taxed for that shit.
Yes, you do. They don't give a damn.
Everything.
It depends how much you win. So
this is
what you gotta do.
Oh yeah, when you win, it tax you.
What you gotta do is you don't go to the casino dolo, right? You gotta go to some money, right? So in case you win big, I think it's right around I'm gonna sound like a gambler here, but I am a gambler. It's right around like 9,500 to 10,000 plus you pay taxes on. Right. So what you gotta do, boom, if all of us win, I just want $10,000, I'm giving you $2,000 to go cash in for me, I'm giving you $2,000 to go cash in for me. So it's just like that. So you don't track it, that's why it's taxed. But when you go cash in that big chips, over a certain amount, they're taking information because you're getting taxed for it.
Yeah, but at the same time,
so, but, if loose, but if it's like, you know, $2,000-$3,000, they're not running the cameras to see.
Right.
But that's how you, no, seriously, that's how you get away, that's how you get around it, because after a certain amount, they want to make sure. So if you go to the casino and cash in $10,000 worth of chips, they're going to go running cameras to make sure you won all that, for one. And but if it's like $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, they okay, he won $4,000.
How about so when you win the slot machine, Mr. Cardell?
I don't play that. I'm not putting my money in a machine. I'm playing. I'm playing a game that I think I can control. Either blackjack, because you control the cut, or you can mess up the deck with a hit, or you don't, right. Or crap. So you hopefully you got a good risk.
Ain't no hopefully, man. You
got to throw them. Yeah, yeah. Don't but think you big blocks, y'all. I hate that. Yeah, oh, Baccarat. Yeah, yeah. That's the Baccarat.
But when you lose $10,000, they don't give a fuck about you. You
don't be like,
they don't care.
Because what's crazy about it, like, you think you lose that much money, at least you can write it off. But if I win that much money, I'm getting taxed. You can't write that off. No, you lost. But if you win that, now we taxing you. It's crazy.
Wow. That's... All right. So, your opinion on the first top picks of this draft.
Yeah.
Who you think, Eli? Number one?
Number one pick? It looks like it's going to be Trevor Lawrence.
Going to the Jets, right?
Jaguars.
Coach Meyer going.
Oh, Jaguars number one.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, snap. Okay. Yeah. All right, Urban Meyer. Yeah.
Coach Myers is the number one pick. He should pick Cardale Jones.
I thought you said Jets number two.
Jets number two, right?
I don't know if the Jets.
All right, let's forget two the team. Let's just pick your top five pick. So Lawrence one. Who you think is two?
Fields, Justin Fields.
Justin, you think so?
Yeah.
Definitely. He's a second quarterback. Yeah. Okay. Or really, he really won B to me. I think he should.
You can't go wrong with either one of them.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, and who would be three?
Number three, shoot. Fire the dude from Bama.
Receiver. Oh, receiver? Which one? Weddle or Smith?
Number six.
I say dude from Florida.
Number six.
Oh, tight end. I think he'd be number. I think he'd be number.
Yeah, he'd be top five probably. He's a dog. And then, dude from Bama too. He's probably top five somewhere. Four or five.
Who's your top five? Same thing.
I think top five. I don't know like who's going in the picks, but top five because different needs. I think it'll be Trevor Lawrence, the kid from BYU, because I think he'd go to the Jets because he fits better. Wilson. Yeah, Wilson, right? Zach Wilson, I think his name is. Justin Fields. I'm going with Kyle Pitts, the tight end from Florida.
Yeah,
for real.
Yeah, he a dog. And then number six, I'm taking Jamar Chase out of LSU, the receiver who didn't even play this year, who's still the best receiver in his class.
For real. You think he's better than Devontae?
I seen him play in person last year.
Yeah, he a dog.
So I'm just go Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields. And honestly, I don't even really know who all in the draft.
Hey, bro, to be honest,
all those I know. Shoot, I know they got that nigga from Bama. I don't really know his name.
Devontae Smith.
Waddle.
Waddle.
Yeah, he was hurt.
He coming out. Yeah. I don't even know who that is.
17.
Yeah, fam. Then the nigga from LSU.
Well, if y'all didn't have a communication, that's the nigga to talk
to. do you need to have a backup singer? Michael Blackson is a rapper.
Shit, I want to be his backup singer. I want to hop on them tropical beats.
Oh, the Mutombo.
Afrobeat.
After the offseason, we're going to go to Ghana and record a song.
Man. Hey, you got to give me one of them dashiki.
I got you, man.
Yeah, he gave me one.
I got something for all of you. All
right,
I got a gift for you. Got some stuff from Africa for all of you.
For sure. All
right, well, you heard it from the experts, except for that nigga. He just know the first two picks.
Mike, remember he didn't get his diploma?
That's right. Late. Now we know the one. They probably didn't say you deserve it. He gave it to you for a reason. You're like, you're not going to take it to the job and talk about you graduated from here. You're not going to make us look bad. You're going to fuck us. He seemed like the type of person that like dropped out of kindergarten and shit. Because he didn't want to take a nap. Nigga, take a nap. It's your bedtime, motherfucker. All right, well, shit. Yeah, that's it, man. But I'm here. Wish you lots of luck with the Raiders. I'm going to come and watch you.
For sure.
Because I'm in Cincinnati. And we gonna be rooting for Cardale. You.
Where's my girl? I'm sending y'all jerseys, so don't worry.
Everybody Mike, email Coach Mom.
Yeah.
Petition. Yeah.
It's a
petition card. So, what were you? 6'4", 6'5"?
6'5".
What are they, like 2 what?
248.
6'5", 248, healthy, strong, tough quarterback right here. Mature, grown, ready to play.
Yeah.
Okay, NFL team, let's go. Stop playing.
Mike, he's also a boxer, you know. He wants to fight Jake Paul or both of them on the same day.
Either the NFL or he's going to fight Jake Paul.
Lamar
will knock his ass out. He's going to knock his ass out.
Did Lamar fight yesterday? Did he fight?
No, he didn't play. June, he's fighting.
One thing about those, like, the basketball
Lamar against
they too tall and slim, man. I think a good body shot from anybody, they go.
They're not tough.
I'm trying to get in one of them. Who want to fight? Netway right now.
Not with that wrist, boy.
$300. Get in the ring right now.
Man, I think if all that celebrities, so I don't think a football player, they won't even allow a football player
to get hurt. Hell no, you get hurt. It's over.
Because we'll beat the brakes off one of y'all niggas. I ain't playing.
Do you think
you see what Aaron Donald just did to a guy?
I thought you was defending him. The video showed. Nah.
I saw a guy, I look like a pumpkin.
He took his whole eyebrow off. The dude don't got an eyebrow. He's a different dude now. He don't look the same no more. Aaron Donald allegedly beat up. He does not have an eyebrow. Like he has like.
He got an eyebrow.
He knocked his eyebrow off and his eyes.
Nigga knocked the eyebrows off.
Yeah, but how about the offensive tackle that got knocked out in a Walmart or something? You saw that? Y'all didn't see that. I forgot what team he played for.
Somebody from Oklahoma got dropped.
That's an offensive tackle that got dropped.
The dude from Oklahoma?
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Oh, for fighting in Walmart? Holy crap.
That's some.
I got to find this.
We going to find it after this.
Who was talking crap and he got laid down by like a regular.
Yeah, you won't catch any of those football guys in celebrity fights and all that. They hurt one of those. YouTubers or basketball.
How many rounds do you think you give Jake Paul, Mr. Cardale Jones?
Man, I'm gonna leave it alone.
He's trying to play football, Chinese.
Yeah, I'm gonna leave it alone, man. Yeah. I'll give him three rounds.
Any team you want, whoever write the check, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, for sure.
Don't matter who.
Don't matter.
All right. Y'all heard it from the best, man. Ohio State champions are in the building tonight.
Ohio State champions, Mike.
Thank you very much. Oakland Raiders, let's go. Bengals. Hopefully your quarterback, is your quarterback healthy now? Eli, is he good?
Yeah, he should be.
He's definitely
been working. Yeah. He's looking good. It's a goat.
Mike, can they still go back to college and get another degree and play again or no?
No, you can't go. You could go though.
I could play there.
You go to Ohio State.
I just want to be a waterboard. Kicker, maybe.
You built like a goddamn cheerleader.
Chill out, man. It's all
savage. You built like an offensive tackle's left testicle, motherfucker. Thank y'all for joining us in another episode of Motherfucker. See you next time, Motherfucker.
Yeah!
The Mother Sucker Podcast with me, Michael Blackson, is a Calvary Audio production brought to you by iHeart Radio and the Black Effect Podcast Network. Produced by Brendan Morgan of Calvary Audio and A. King for the Black Effect. Associate producer is Jeff Apple. Executive produced by Michael Blackson, Keegan Rosenberger, and Dana Brunetti.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.